So we're continuing through the book of Ephesians, and we're also continuing and talking about our relationship with the world. And last week we talked about walking in love and how that's not walking in our love for the world, but that's walking in our love for God. And so that should separate us from the world in that way. But also, we are to walk in light. So when interacting with the world, we are supposed to be lights in the world. So with that said, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'll move on from there. Dear Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for bringing us here this morning to hear your word, Lord, and to dive into your word. I pray that you would keep us in a mode of worship as we go through your word this morning, and just help us to be light in the world, Lord, as you are light in the world. And just help us to show your light to a lost and dying world, Lord. And help us be good representatives of you in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so if you would go ahead and open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. And this is going to be our main passage today, but we're going to be jumping back and forth between this and 1 John chapter 1. So if you want to bookmark kind of both of those chapters, just so you know, we're going to be going back and forth between those ones a lot. We're going to cover some other ones too, but those are the two main ones. And so I'm going to go ahead and read this whole passage right now, and then we'll break it down a bit later. But it says, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." And so just before we move on, just a note there, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but have you ever heard the saying, sunlight is the best disinfectant, right? Things that are in darkness, right, they tend to fester and get worse. But when things are exposed to light, that makes things better, right? So we're going to talk about that a bit later, but it's a, when I was reading this passage, it reminded me of my days when I was doing plumbing and stuff, and you know, you encounter mold and, you know, different funguses underneath a house because they're underneath a house and it's all dark and damp underneath there. But expose things to light and it goes away. All right. So the first thing that we need to look at this morning is in 1 John chapter 1, talking about light. First thing we need to understand that God is light. It's the very first thing we need to understand when we talk about this subject. So talking about this battle between light and darkness, right? The world is in darkness, but God is light. And so as children of God, as saved individuals, we are supposed to be drawn to God, right? And so if God's in light, or God is light, then we should be children of light, like Ephesians chapter 5 says. But go ahead and turn to John chapter 1, or sorry, 1 John chapter 1. And we're just going to read verse 5 for now. It says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." And so in this battle between light and darkness, understand that if we are children of darkness, right, we're, again, we'll get into this later, we're directly opposed to God. And so, but if we're children of God, we need to be walking in light. God is light. The Bible is so awesome in talking about this, comparing God to light all the time. Even if you go all the way back to the beginning, right? I was asked this question one time, you know, how was there light before the sun, right? And literally, when God said, "Let there be light," the light literally just came from him. That's such an awesome thing. And so it was like that at the beginning. How do you think it's going to be like at the end? Light is going to be coming from him in the end too. So it's pretty awesome. Now we go to, so you see this talked about in 1 John chapter 1. But John also speaks about this in John chapter 1. So not just 1 John, but also John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. Right at the very beginning, it says in verses 1 through 5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And sorry, the passage is wrong up there. I missed the last verse up there. But it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And of course, this is talking about Jesus Christ. It says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And so, again, this is this battle between light and darkness. Jesus, the darkness not comprehending the light, that means the darkness could overcome Jesus, right? And so that's what it's talking about. It's not saying that darkness didn't understand Jesus. It's saying it could not overcome him. And so light wins, right? Light wins in the end. But again, this battle between light and darkness is so essential for understanding Ephesians, especially where we are in Ephesians. And even later when we talk about the whole armor of God, what are we battling against? Against the rulers of darkness of this age, right? And so understand that when we are interacting with the world, right, we're not just, it's not just about people out there. It's about the ideas and the powers that be and everything that is behind those people. It's not people that we are wrestling against. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. A few sermons down the road, actually. So, but Jesus is light. And again, like moths to a flame, we should be attracted to Jesus. Now, that's God by and also Jesus, so they're the same, right? They are light. Ephesians talks about us being once in darkness, and now, children of light. Ephesians 5:8, just that verse right there, it says, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. And so God is light, Jesus is light. We're children of light. And we need to walk as children of light. And so this is talking about us being representatives of Christ in the world. We need to understand that when we go out there, it's not just us that people are looking at. I've said this many times, right? The Bible says this many times throughout the Bible, that people aren't just looking at you. They're looking at what you represent, right? And if you claim to be a Christian and you are just doing the exact same sinful things that the rest of the world is doing, then they're not just looking at you, the sinner. They're looking at, well, you know, they claim to be a Christian, right? That must be all Christians. That must be the Christ that they represent, right? Now, we are all sinners, but we are to try to be better, right? We're following God. We are following Christ. We are trying to be like Christ in our lives. And so we need to be good representatives of that. This walk goes into a little bit more detail in the following verses of Ephesians chapter 5. But we need to walk in light. So we're children of light. We need to walk according to that. The first thing that we need to do in this walk in our lives, and when it talks about our walk in the Bible, it's not talking about literally the way you walk, like, you know, your feet. It's talking about the way you live your life, right? So anytime it talks about your walk in the Bible, it's talking about the way you're living, your actions. That's, you know, if you talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. So, you know, the saying goes, right? So the first thing that we are to do, we're Christians, right? What does the word Christian mean? That means Christ follower, right? And so we are Christ followers. You know what that meant to the disciples of Jesus? When Jesus called his disciples, right? You know what being a disciple of a rabbi meant at that time? It meant that you were going to follow so closely behind your teacher that you would be caked in their dust. So when they were kicking up dust, when they were walking, you were supposed to follow so closely behind them that you'd be covered in their dust. That's what we are called to do with Jesus. We are supposed to follow so closely that we are covered in his dust. John 8:12 says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" Jesus says, he is the light of the world, right? If we follow him, you shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That's both a gift and a command, the way I see it there. We need to not walk in darkness. It explains that later in the Bible. This isn't just a suggestion. This isn't just a, oh, I'm giving you light here. It's saying, you shall not walk in darkness. Don't do this. Another thing we need to understand is we need to not be liars. We need to not be liars, right? So we need to follow the light, right? But also don't be a liar. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. It says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." So God is light with no darkness. We already said that. It says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." So what does that say? Is that saying that if you do sinful things that you can lose your salvation? Absolutely not. What it's saying is, if you are walking, remember what walk means? It's the way you live your life. So if you are walking in darkness in your life, if you are literally, that is your life, right? And just as if before you were saved, right? Then if you are continuing to walk that way, you should question whether or not you're saved in the first place. That's the whole point of 1 John, is how you can know that you are saved. And so what he's saying here is, if you say that you have fellowship with God and you walk in darkness, you're a liar. Don't be a liar. If you have fellowship with God, you need to walk in the light. So how do we do this? What does this look like in our lives, walking in the light? The way we live our lives, how to walk in the light. Well, first of all, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, it talks about doing what is acceptable to God. Doing what is acceptable to God. So the first thing on our list, if we're saved individuals, what are we supposed to do? Do what is acceptable to God. Do the things that God likes, right? Do the things that it says in the Bible that God likes. It says here what these are, or some of these things. It says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." And it says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And so we are supposed to be doing things in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. It's a pretty simple concept, harder to carry out in our lives sometimes. But that's what we are to be seeking after. That's why it says there, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. None of us has all the answers, but we are supposed to be seeking the things that are acceptable to God. Next here, in verse 11, It says, do not have fellowship, essentially, with the unfruitful works of darkness. So do not have fellowship with darkness. Verse 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So remember last week when we talked about not being partakers with the world, right? Don't be with them, right? Now it says basically the same thing, but have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And so whereas last week it was talking about not being partakers with those that are still in the world, this is talking about really yourself, what you have left behind. Don't do those things. So don't be partakers with the people that are doing bad things. Now it's saying don't do those things yourself, right? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Understand, we need to be thinking about this like it's a war. Because it is. It is a war. And we're not battling against people out there. The people are the prize. We need to understand that. People are the prize, right, to God. And so we're supposed to be bringing the light out to those people. We're not fighting against them. We're fighting against Satan that has a hold over them, right? So we need to be thinking about this like it's a battle. And if you are not representing your side well, then that's a problem. Now, I'm going to skip forward a little bit. This is kind of what I've been talking about right now. This one's not a slide, so sorry, Cameron, I just added this morning. But we, as children of light, need to be opposed to darkness. And so, not just not having fellowship with darkness, but we need to be actually opposed to darkness. When we start talking about the whole armor of God, this is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Who is our enemy? It says, in verse 12, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So Paul comes right out and says it. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against things that you can't see, right? Against evil things, spiritual hosts of wickedness. This makes it even more important that we are shining the light, right? Because why? Because light is the best disinfectant, right? What we can't stand on our own, right? We can't, and we definitely can't go out into the world and do things in shady ways and expect that to win people over to the Lord. No, we have to be good representatives of Jesus. We have to expose sin to light. Now, this has twofold meaning here, expose sin to light. Again, exposing the sins of the world, right? But also exposing our own sin to light. You know, a lot of times if we do things in secret and you're like, oh, I need to stop doing that. If you do it in secret, you're more likely to just keep doing it, right? If you can never admit what you're doing wrong, then you're just going to keep doing it. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. First, the sinful world. Ephesians 5, 12 through 14. It says, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. So those evil things done in secret. It says, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And so when we are to go out into the world, right, we are to bring light to the world. When Jesus says, ye are the light of the world, right? one point he says, I am the light. Another point he says, we are the light. Well, when Jesus sends us out, we are to be going out to bring light to people. I actually heard a preacher talk about this recently, talking about the whole idea of inviting lost people to church. And it's a very interesting point. If you think about this battle between light and darkness, right? When you invite lost people to church, you are inviting darkness to the light. When you go out and evangelize, when you talk to people about Christ outside of church, you are bringing light to the darkness. It's kind of a very interesting thing to think about. Now, I do believe that we should invite lost people to church. If that's the only thing that we can do, do it. But think about that, though. Which one is more effective, bringing darkness to the light or bringing light to the darkness? Something to think about. Now, not just thinking about the sinful world when we think about this, we need to turn this towards ourselves too. Because whereas Ephesians chapter 5 really talks about our relationship with the world, right? What I just said about First John chapter 1 is that it's how you can know that you are saved. So it's really about your relationship with Christ, right? Your relationship with the light. So when we look at our sin, right? If we continue through First John chapter 1, we read 8 through 10 there. It says, so right after getting done saying that, you know, if we have claimed to have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, then we're liars, right? But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with him. Well, it continues in verse 8 through 10. This is on the same point here. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, this is, by the way, talking to saved people. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So think about that. Think about, again, sunlight being the best disinfectant, right? What you do in secret is bad versus what you reveal can be fixed, right? So if you claim to have no sin, right, you're deceiving yourself, right? You're lying to yourself if you claim to have no sin, because everybody has sin. Everybody sins every day, right? That's a fact of life. So do not claim to be perfect, especially when you pray, right? Especially when you're talking to God knows your heart already. He knows what's going on. So if you're not confessing your sins to God, you're lying to yourself, right? It says, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Again, don't be a liar. But if we confess our sins, here's the flip side of that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love this verse, verse 9. You can preach a whole sermon on just verse 9, but the fact that God is faithful and just to forgive, right? That's not just, you know, that what that's saying there is that if you're a saved individual and you confess your sins, God has to forgive you. It's part of his character. A lot of times people don't like hearing, you know, God has to do anything. No, because it's already paid for, right? It's already paid for with the blood of Christ. If I heard an illustration on this one time. It was pretty good, you know. If I was to go to a coffee shop, right, and I order coffee, right, and I go, oh, gosh, I forgot my wallet. You know, I forgot my wallet. Can you just give me the coffee this one time? Right, you already made it. Can I have it? And they go, yeah, sure, and they give me the coffee, right? Now, that may sound like a little bit far-fetched, but not, you know, unreasonable. That has happened to people sometimes, right? Say I go back to that coffee shop again the next day, and I go, oh gosh, I forgot my wallet again. And they have the coffee already made, and I'm like, can you get me again this time? And they go, yeah, sure, right? And I say, oh, wow, thank you. You know, and I go and I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'm gonna go again. And I say I legitimately forgot my wallet again, right? Now, I'm not just doing this on purpose. I'm just saying I'm forgetful, right? Your pastor's forgetful, right? And I go to the coffee shop again, and I forgot my wallet. And they give me the coffee again. And say I just keep doing this, and they keep giving me the coffee. And you might be thinking right now, well, that's really, like, that could never happen. But see, what you don't know is that Brother Robert went to the coffee shop before me, right, and says, we have a great pastor, we love him a lot, but he's very forgetful. He always forgets his wallet. Take my card, put it on file, and when he comes in to get a coffee, just give him the coffee, right? Now, Robert's never going to do this, so I'm just saying. But now, think about that cashier. Is it right for that cashier to give me the coffee? Yes, because it's already paid for, right? The card's already on file. It's already paid for. So no matter how many times I ask for that coffee, as long as that card's on file, it's paid for. Now think about what Jesus has done for us by dying on the cross. So if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, if we repent of our sins and turn in, that is already paid for. So no matter how many times we go to God and ask for forgiveness, Jesus' blood that he shed on the cross was enough to cover it. So we need to not be afraid to go to God and confess our sins. He is always going to forgive. Why? Because he's faithful, but not only that, it is just for God to do that. God is a just God, and it's already paid for. So that was a bit of a side note or a long side note, but I love that verse there. And he says, if we say that we have not sinned, and this is the sad part. So if you claim that you have not sinned, you're not only a liar, you are making Jesus a liar. Because Jesus said that we're all sinners, right? He died because we are all sinners. So don't be a liar, but don't make Christ a liar. Admit your sin. So we need to bring light into the world, right? Expose the sins of the world. But also we need to expose our own sins. And that way Jesus can heal that. Jesus can help us move forward and fix us. You're not done when you're saved. There's a whole process of sanctification that goes through your whole life. And so here's the last point this morning. Let the light of Jesus shine. So walk in the light, you know, do good things, but we also need to actually be letting that light shine. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And I've alluded to this verse a few times. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. By the way, he's not talking to his whole audience there. So when you study the Sermon on the Mount, the first part of the sermon, he is proclaiming out to them. But when it starts here, when he says, you are the salt, you are the light, right? He's talking to his direct disciples. And so really, he's talking to his church there. And so we need to understand this as a church. This is to us, right? So you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify, your Father in heaven. Let your light shine so that people can see what you do and glorify God. Again, be good representatives of Christ. Now you might remember when I first started preaching here, one of the sermons that I preached twice and didn't realize it, I talked about being a lighthouse, right? And so, you know, how, this question, right, of, well, how can Jesus be the light the light, but how can we be the light as well? And the answer is really simple. The light that we have does not come from us. The light that we have comes from Christ. Christ is the light. We are the ones showing that light. And so when you think about a lighthouse, right, the lighthouse itself is not the light, but it has a big light in the top of it, right? And it guides people to safety. It guides ships into a harbor. And that's what we need to be doing in this world. We need to be good representatives of Christ with our works, right? Not just with our speech. And we need to be guiding people towards Christ. If we're bad lighthouses, right, and we are not showing that light, instead what we're doing is guiding people towards destruction. And you don't want to do that. We need to be good representatives of Christ in our lives. As the pianist and song leader come, I just want to have a song of invitation here. If there's anyone here that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, think about that verse in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Now, that is directed at saved individuals, but the truth still rings true. Christ has already paid for your sin on the cross. Think about that. Christ has already paid for it. And so, why would you not accept that? You don't have to do anything. Just accept what Jesus has done for you. Repent of your sin and turn towards Christ.